such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Bozo Circus is on the air. Bozo, the world's greatest clown. Oliver O'Oliver. Sandy the Tramp. Bob Smith. Bob Trender and his Big Top Band. Master Ned, that's me. And a cast of thousands.
Well, a cast of two, and there was a whistle. And this is Mike Stark, and that's what it is. It's a circus. But I have a lot of fun with my circus, and I'm sitting in for Mary Fiorito, who's sitting in for Father Anthony. So I figure I ought to have a father with me as well. So I have Father Joshua Caswell from a little-known church here in Chicago that's the prettiest church in the maybe in the country and certainly in the world now that Notre Dame's under repair. So okay. St. John Cantius. Father Josh, welcome.
Thanks. It's great to be back on the show.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to have you here. You've got a lot to talk about there, eh? You're from Canada, right?
I sure am.
Oh, you betcha. All right, well, we're going to talk about Chicago here, my friend. So there's an event that's kind of growing. It's turning into a big deal. Our good friend Kevin Matthews is going to be here in a few weeks on May 31st, Friday, May 31st. And we're going to have a march down Chicago Avenue from St. John Cantius to the Water Tower. So with that, I'm just going to turn the show over to you, my man.
Very good. Well, it's so great to be back on the show. And as many of you know, so many of you have heard of Kevin Matthews. He's a legendary Chicago radio personality, famous for his voice of Jim Shorts. Kevin Matthews he spoke to 10 million listeners weekly. And his story is compelling. He has this moment where he retires from radio. He's in Grand Rapids. He has this moment where he's diagnosed with MS. His life is not going so well. And he was never known for his piety in Chicago. For those of you who listen to him on the show, he's never known for his piety or his prayer. But I think he had a moment where he needed God, and God knew that he needed him. And he goes to this flower shop to buy flowers for his wife. And there, in the dumpster outside, he finds a statue of the Virgin Mary. And the statue's broken. It's broken in half. The hands are chipped. There are things missing from the statue. And he hears a voice which says, "Will you deny me? Will you deny my mother?" And he picks up the statue, and he, after some finagling, he takes it home. And the statue repairs his life. The statue, Our Lady of the Broken, Broken Mary, she begins to put his life back together. He goes to some poor priest in Michigan and makes a publishing clearinghouse confession, giving the whole story, and comes back to the church. Well, now this statue, Our Lady of the Broken, is coming to Chicago.
And let me jump in for 1 second. The priest helped him, Father Mark, helped him, said, "I got a guy who does statues, a statue maker. He'll be able to fix this for you, and we'll take it to her when the weather gets better." So he had this the statue with him for a long time, caring for it while, you know, just kind of, he didn't want to just throw it in the garage. So he kind of kept her warm until he could get her over to the statue maker. And the statue maker asked him, you know, what you wanted to do. And the statue was broken clearly in half. And so, well, we can do that. We can give her new hands. We can give her this. We can give her that. We can fix her up. She'll be brand new. You won't even know she was broken. To which he obviously said, no. They drilled a rod through her and put her together so she's in one piece now. But he wanted to keep her broken. But I think the one thing that anyone that's seen the statue, and he's been making rounds, her face is immaculate. Everything else is beat up and chipped. It's like you maybe put her in a wood chipper or something. The rest of her is all chipped up. The hands, the fingers are missing. She's broken in half. But her face is like a porcelain doll. It's perfect. And I just wanted to add that because he said he wanted to keep her broken because I'm broken. And she's been working on him and working with him ever since. And it's been a few years now. He's written a great book, Broken Mary. For those of you that don't know about it, Broken Mary is a book by Kevin Matthews. You can get it online. So with that, we'll get back to this because you've developed quite the friendship with Kevin, Father.
You know, it's just amazing how Mary brings people together. But yeah, he came to our church and he heard about the story in our church. We have a story of the miracle of the broken jug, where St. John can't just takes a broken pieces of a jug and puts it back together. And so he's just felt this connection with our church. This is her home, he says. But, you know, I think nobody tells the story like Kevin Matthews does, and his voice is recognizable. And so I would love to give our listeners an opportunity to actually hear from Kevin Matthews. We have a beautiful recording of him telling the story in just a couple of minutes here. It's very beautiful. So if you are able to call that up and play this.
Yeah, Nick has got it. Do you have it? He's still working on it? Okay. We're still working on it.
No worries. Yeah.
You know, he did create something that I've seen the video. It's very amazing. And Nick, you just waved to me. Oh, you've got it? Outstanding. Well, like Jimmy Shorts would say, oh, that's good. Let's get to the cut. Right, bye. Go ahead, Nick.
I found this statue of the Virgin Mary lying next to a dumpster. It was too heavy to throw into the dumpster. I don't know who would do such a thing. But this statue of Our Lady caught my eye. I walked over and looked, and she's broken in half at the waist. Her hands are missing. She looked so cold and abandoned, her eyes just looking up at me. And that's when I heard a voice I'll never forget. This stern voice said, "Will you deny me? Will you deny my mother?" I ended up taking the statue. I kept her because she was broken, and so was I. I took her home and I called a priest, and he came and blessed her. And that's when the miracles began. First, I had this urge to recite the rosary. I didn't even have a rosary or know what a rosary really was. But Mary herself, she taught me her rosary. And when you recite and hold her rosary, you are holding the hand of Mary. And when you hold the hand of Mary, you're holding the power of God. And that power can heal everyone who's broken. So many people have touched the statue of Broken Mary. Some are sick. Many have addictions. So many are afraid or dying of loneliness. Many have contemplated suicide. And some are serving life in prison. We all are broken. It's humbling to go to Mary and say, "Mary, the mother of Jesus, please, please, Mary, be my mother today." This world is moving so fast. Maybe it's time to stop and close your eyes and finally be with God.
So we're back on. I'm glad we're able to let everyone listen to that. Father Josh, you've got quite the schedule coming up in the next month or so, because you're going to be talking to a lot of people about this. How basically did this get started? The event gets started, and let's talk a little bit about why we're walking from John Cantius to the water tower, if you will.
Sure thing. So the event is really amazing how God orchestrated this. And I will just give the website right away if people are interested. It's OurLadyOfTheBroken.org, OurLadyOfTheBroken.org. So we just heard Kevin Matthews speaking about how he found this statue. Kevin Matthews comes to St. John Cantius. I'm actually on the radio. I'm actually hosting the Patrick McCormick Show on Relevant Radio with Patrick McCormick. And we have this guest, and I don't know who he is because I'm Canadian. I've never heard of Kevin Matthews in my life. And he's now my guest on the radio, and he's telling a story.
And Matthews is from Michigan, though. That's almost Canada, you know. He's not a Youper.
That's right.
He's from the D.
He sure is. So, yeah, he's telling this story, and I have no idea who this is. But here I am, this inexperienced person interviewing the radio legend, and he's telling this story. And it was actually on that radio show that I invited him to Chicago. And I said, you know what, you're going to come to Chicago. And it was just an inspiration. You're going to come to Chicago. You're going to bring this statue, and we're going to process down the street, and it'll be a beautiful moment. So I saw immediately. Well, it didn't happen for various reasons through the last couple of years. But then one day he shows up at our church, and we rekindle the friendship. He becomes a dear friend. We begin to talk. And more the image starts to come of just seeing thousands of people with glittering candles walking down Chicago Avenue. In 2017, we did processions down Elston, down Ogden, down Milwaukee. We went to various churches, but we never went east. We never went toward the downtown. We took a beautiful statue of Our Lady of Fatima to one of the broken areas of Chicago. We went west on Chicago Avenue, but now we're going east. And the odd thing is, we went to a broken part of Chicago with a beautiful statue, and now we're going to a beautiful part of Chicago with a broken statue. So you see the poetry there. So as this begins to talk, and we had a problem, the Chicago Avenue Bridge was closed for 7 months. And when I discussed this with Kevin about this possibility of this procession, I said, well, I'm going to need to have the bridge be opened. And if you haven't seen the statue...
Because the bridge was broken?
The bridge was broken. The bridge is out. It is. So this, yeah, it was amazing because there's only four arteries to downtown from this part of Chicago. You've got Division, you have North Avenue, you have Chicago. One of those major arteries is out. All of traffic was completely messed up for months. But when in dialogue with Kevin, when we decided to do this, I was going to ask Mary for a pretty clear sign. You know, I'm weak of faith, so I need a sign. I said, I need you to make this very clear that you want to cross this bridge, which is broken. And so what happens is, on the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, February 11th, the Chicago Avenue Bridge opens. And I end up blessing the bridge on the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. Now, for those of you who don't know the statue, it is an image of Our Lady of Lourdes. You can see the blue sash that she's wearing.
Oh, I can, but nobody that's listening can. But I see the sash. Yes, it's a beautiful statue.
So,
sorry, folks.
No, yeah.
Use your imagination.
Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes.
Or go online.
And we are able to cross the bridge, and this was the moment where I called Kevin and we said, what date should we do this? We thought May 13th. But he said, well, what about May 31st? And I believe you were actually in the discussion on this.
I was there, yeah.
You were there in that discussion. He immediately said, perfect, we'll do it on May 31st. And
right, or if you're dyslexic, we were going to do it on the 13th. Originally, we were talking about going to John from Cantius down to Holy Name, and Father Greg Sakowitz was all for it. For some reason, they have an event that day, and so that date didn't work for him.
It didn't work. So originally, our original plan was to go to Holy Name Cathedral.
We're going to go by there.
We're going to go right by Holy Name Cathedral, cross the intersection Chicago and State, and we're going to go all the way to the Water Tower. Now, the most amazing thing about the Water Tower is that here's a structure that survived the Chicago fire.
One of the only ones.
And what was this Water Tower for? It was the pressure valve where all the water in the entire city came through this tower. It was the valve pipe for the entire city. And so when the city was rebuilding after the fire, as the plaque on the Water Tower says, this monument served as a guidepost for the city to rebuild. And this is our hope. Our hope is that it'll be a place for the city to rebuild from the ashes of our brokenness, of our broken hearts.
Our faith.
Exactly, our faith, to be a place. So I think it's appropriate that we are going to a public square and not bringing her inside of a church, but we're out in the open and we'll be carrying the Paschal fire. We'll be carrying the Easter fire in those candles down to the Water Tower. And a part of the Easter mystery is, of course, the water. You know, during Easter season, the church sings what they call the Vidi Aquam. I saw water flowing. The prophet Ezekiel, I saw water flowing from the eastern side of the temple. And wherever that water flowed, it gladdened the city of God. And so this is incredible because when I went down to the water tower, I don't have any permits. I don't have any permission. This is a Friday night on Michigan Avenue. I don't think this is doable, but Mary doesn't care, right?
And this is where all the people are going to see you, too.
This is.
Everyone's going to see it on Michigan Avenue. Holy Name would just be like, okay, there's a bunch of Catholics doing their prayer thing, whether it be the night services that they have sometimes for the young Catholics. But this is on the main drag. This is where all the parades go. We're having our own parade right there.
It's the center of the city.
And we're going to have to get back to that because Nick's giving me the break sign. So I guess we got to go to commercials. So we'll be right back after this break.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK 3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK 3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced-level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Koska is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just two blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org and enter into the presence of Christ.
Betcha. You know, Father Josh is from Canada. You know, I was thinking maybe might put a hockey game on now there, hey?
Well, that was such a great surprise. Check it out. I was so amazed. No, I'm very proud to be from Canada. Still a Canadian citizen, but that was a beautiful tribute. I had to stand at attention here. It was very moving.
Oh, you betcha. Yeah. So yeah, what else do you do up there? You know, I hear you're from a quiet little town there out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
Oh, yes. So I'm from Brabant Lake, Saskatchewan.
Tell us a little bit about it there, eh?
It's latitude 56.7, so it's 1,000 miles north of the border, north of North Dakota. And my mother was a member of Parliament, and so Canada runs in my blood, but very happy to be Canadian. So,
now, how'd you end up becoming a priest? You're up there in the north. I thought maybe you'd be fishing or hunting or, you know, building log cabins or something, eh?
I love this stereotypical Canadian accent that Mike is doing. It is so good.
Well, I went to school in Minnesota, you know, so I get a little bit of that, yeah?
So
you're a hockey player, are you?
I did play hockey. My sister, unfortunately, was better than me. She was trying out for the Olympics.
That's why you're a priest.
That's right.
So she went, oh, no, get into that. That's good. We'll get back to Mary and the March and all the other insignificant stuff a little bit later. We'll talk a little of sports there, eh? So she was in the Olympics, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. I would always get on the ice and my older sister would come and she'd play hockey, and she was definitely a much better hockey player than I was. But our family wasn't even Catholic, but our family ended up converting to the Catholic faith there in Canada. It was actually the native people on an Indian reservation who taught us how to pray the rosary. And so there we discovered our first faith. And it was an old oblate priest in the middle of nowhere, a tiny town of about 1,000 people.
Francis George, eh? You know, he's an oblate?
That's right.
You betcha.
Absolutely related to...
Well, he went there, you know.
He did.
With Alex Trebek.
So it's kind of an ironic thing that I end up coming to Chicago from northern Canada and meeting Cardinal George because I had considered joining the Oblates of Mary Immaculate.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But it was such a consolation to see that my founding bishop, and in fact, the bishop who ordained me, was an Oblate of Mary Immaculate.
So. And wasn't Cardinal George the last one? You are the last group to come through that he ordained here in Chicago.
Absolutely was. I was ordained with my brother on the floor of St. John Cantius. It was a great moment. But yeah, it was Cardinal George's last ordination.
So and that picture's in our movie, you know.
It was such a great film. The accent is so great.
Oh, I'll stay with it for a little bit there, hey. But you can do a couple accents yourself there, eh?
Check it out. Well, I definitely have the Canadian accent. My theory for why Canadians speak like this is more in the front of the mouth, and the syllables are very short.
Mouth.
Exactly.
Mouth.
Is because it's cold, and so we can't afford to open our mouth too wide. Whereas you get down in Texas, and it's very warm, so their mouth is just wide open, and you can just hear way in the back of the throat.
Drawl. Pardon. Well, you got yourself a little bit of Texas accent you'd be able to do, so why don't you share it with the audience there, partner?
Canadians can't do Texas accents.
You just did it.
I can't
We
do
weren't
it.
On the air, but I heard it. I heard it. Don't be telling a fib. You got to go confession, Father.
Now y'all fixing to pray the rosary?
I'm fixing to pray the rosary there. I knew you had it in you. Golly, that's a little Gomer Pyle. That's more like mid up, you know, Tennessee or wherever Mayberry is. But you
this
know.
Is great radio, I've got to say.
Well, Kevin, be proud of us, you know, because he does all them voices. You know, he doesn't just do Jim Shorts. He does a Pee Wee Herman, and he does Ronald Reagan, and some of these other other jokers. You know, that's what made his show so funny because you know he did all these voices when he's in Michigan. You know he. His manager didn't even know who this guy was doing the sports. He said, that way I could slip it off on him. He's like, we got to fire that guy. He's like, oh, I'll tell him to do a better job. But he does not do a better job. Now then he ended up getting shipped here to Chicago.
And that's what made Kevin a legend for sure. Absolutely.
Should we get serious?
It's all right.
I reckon we could. So when we was last on the air, we was talking about when you went over to the water tower there. So why don't you pick it up from there, and I'll just cut out and get my horse and go. See you later. Adios. I mean, yesterday was Cinco de Mayo, senor. So I will leave it with you. And the Fido Bandido. Goodbye.
Thank you, Mike. It was some great voices. Kevin Matthews, famous radio broadcaster, would be so proud because that was what he was known for. And so, but Kevin Matthews had an amazing experience of hope and healing in his own life. Finding this broken statue of the Virgin Mary, which he put back together, his life is put back together, and Kevin Matthews is now coming to Chicago. We'll be speaking at St. John Cantius Church Friday, May 31st at 7 p.m. Information is at ourladyofthebroken.org. I was telling Mike about how this event got rolling. It began with a sort of a small idea, but this is going to be huge. We're talking, this is going to affect the city logistically. It's going to affect the city emotionally. And it's going to affect the city spiritually.
How's it going to affect the city logistically?
Logistically, we're talking about closing down Chicago Avenue, two lanes of traffic on a Friday night.
Friday night, they're going to close it down.
They're closing Chicago Avenue down.
Who's closing it down?
The city's closing it down.
For you?
For Our Lady.
For Mary.
For Mary.
So you're going to walk? We're going to walk
with 5,000 people, 1.5 miles down Chicago Avenue, glittering candles. You'll have the fire department there. You have the police there. You'll have... hopefully the broken from all around the city, a microcosm of the entire city of Chicago walking in procession. And the message is simple. All we are saying is we are broken and we're in need of healing, and it's only going to be divine help. We're not talking about politics. We're not talking about gun control. We're not talking about economic disparity. We're talking about the fact that we need help and healing. And so this is a prophetic act of walking through this city to the water tower, to the place where the water tower, the only structure to survive the Chicago fire. And ironically, the center of the water tower is directly east, 1.5 miles from the tabernacle of St. John Cantius Church. And that's why during the Easter season, when the Catholic Church sings, I saw water flowing from the eastern side of the temple. And wherever that water flowed, it gladdened the city of God. And so we're going to bless some holy water, and we're going to sprinkle people with it, with that water. This is something because Mary is the one who brings us the life-giving water. She brings us Jesus. She's the channel through which Jesus Christ comes to us. But we are here with this radio personality, Kevin Matthews, who will tell the story, and we'll walk and we'll say a prayer for our city. And we're just saying we need divine help. We need God's help for our city. We need to begin with our own hearts. We need our own healing. And that's what Kevin's conclusion was when he found this statue. She's broken. She's broken just like me. We're all in need of hope and healing. And if there's one thing that the city needs, it's hope. Hope is what allows us to get where we are. And so our posters that we have or the website, you'll see the words, there is hope for the broken. That's our declaration. That with this broken statue of Mary, whose face is beautiful. I mean, think about this, Mike. What we're doing in the eyes of the world is we're taking a piece of trash down Chicago Avenue to the water tower.
That's a good point.
But with those who have faith, we're doing more. We're taking something that was rescued from the dumpster.
Well, hopefully all these, I hate to say it because, you know, people consider me a snoot sometimes because I'm from Lake Forest. But again, I was adopted out of the Archdiocese of Chicago's St. Vincent's Children's Home. I ended up in Lake Forest, so I won the lottery. But the point is, we're going to be going through, like you said, we're going through a rich neighborhood.
Yes.
With a broken statue. But sometimes the rich are more broken than the poor, because sometimes you don't think to thank God for the beautiful day that we had yesterday. When everything's going well, people don't think to thank or to acknowledge. And maybe some of these, maybe it'll touch some of these people that are just up in their high rise there, you know, looking down, like what's going on down there. Maybe some people will come down to wonder what's the light down there, what's going on down there. And there was something else that we discussed, that there was a sign from Mary to you at the water tower. I'm not going to let you out of here without you telling that story. So without further ado, go on and tell us what happened to you, because you weren't sure where we were going to walk.
No, after the cathedral was unable to accommodate this procession, we looked at various parks in the city, and I thought, well, I just saw the water tower, and it was so, I couldn't even envision it. It was a lot to envision taking over the water tower or actually being there with the statue. And it's hard on the city logistically. But I had this feeling that she wanted to go there. And so I went down and visited the water towers in the Jane Byrne Park there with the beautiful flowers in front of that structure.
Right across the street from Kevin's old office, the Hancock.
I had no idea.
Kevin worked in the Hancock.
That's
building.
Amazing. That says a lot.
So right across kitty corner.
Yeah, we're going to go right there. So as I'm standing there, I'm like, Lord, I'm a person of weak faith. I need a pretty clear sign that you want us to attempt to do this, because I'm about to meet the city officials and ask for this. So I want to make sure we're doing the right thing. And so I say Hail Mary. And as I look up, I see over the plaza, there's already an image of the Madonna and Child. The Loyola University of Museum of Art is right there. And they've had these two beautiful banners showing this image of Mary, and it hangs over the plaza, and I never noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sort of like this is what, it was a clear sign for me that this is where she wants to go.
Because you asked her.
I did.
Where do you want me to go?
Exactly. And I saw that she's already here. This is her place. She wants to be here. She wants to speak to the city. And I think you're so right to bring up the fact that people will look on. You know, in these events, there's always what we call the three C's. There's curiosity first. People are curious. Secondly, there's conversion. And hopefully, if it sticks, there'll be commitment. And I think that's what we're hoping for, because we had the same thing when we had these processions in 2017. They weren't as big, but for instance, I remember a story of going by the Matchbox. The Matchbox is a pretty famous bar on Chicago. I love it. Near
but
Chicago and Ogden.
It's cigarette smoke. It's,
exactly.
It's the only place you can smoke. It's horrible.
Right.
It's so small.
Matchbox is right there. But as we're coming by with one of these processions, somebody is there in the Matchbox, and they're thinking about ending their life. Their wife has just left them. They've lost their job, so they're obviously broken. And this person is sitting there at the bar thinking about, this is the night I'm going to end it all. And he sees these police lights, and he hears a commotion coming down the street, and he goes outside to see what sort of violent protest this is.
Right.
And as he comes outside, he hears Ave, Ave, Ave Maria. He hears the singing, and he hears these words, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. He hears the words of the Hail Mary, and he remembered that his grandmother used to say those same words over his bed, would say that the Hail Mary over his bed when he was a child. So there he is now kneeling on the street in tears, watching Our Lady go by. And I really believe that this is what Mary wants to do in downtown Chicago. She wants to, those people who are looking in the, you know, Saks Fifth Avenue or Ralph Lauren or wherever, looking for something, they're looking for something more. It's the Michigan Avenue gaze. But she's going to show them this broken statue that, no, there is more to life. There is more to life. And because Kevin Matthews knows, he's lived it all. He's seen the entire city. He's been at the greatest nightclubs and the greatest golf courses, the greatest places in the city.
And he's been kicked out of most of them.
Yes.
Well, the golf courses anyway.
Exactly, yeah. For rowdy behavior. So, I mean, we're not, and this is open. If you want to admit you are broken, you are welcome to be in this procession. And that is our message to the city. But when I would go to, for instance, the Chicago Department of Transportation, I go to visit them, and we have a permit for a pretty amazing request. We're asking for Chicago Avenue and the Water Tower on a Friday night.
For what? I mean, right. We're going to say we're going to shut this down for what? And we're going to get back to Father Josh, and he'll tell us there's a cliffhanger right after this break.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
A bloom shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful we'll be right back.
It is a beautiful day. Today's not so much. Yesterday was, but May 31st, we're going to ask Our Lady for one more favor. We're going to ask her for some really beautiful weather on May 31st.
It'll be exactly as she wants it. Yeah, so Friday, May 31st, this is going to be an event for Chicago that will be different from anything. It will be different from a protest, from a march, from any protest that they've seen.
Well, we've had a lot of them. We've had a lot of them lately in the city, whether it be anti-police or anti-Trump or any of this other stuff that people are, they want to get the word out that they're angry about something or they don't approve of something. And this is the exact opposite.
This is not anti-anything. This is for hope. This is like, there is hope.
We need it.
And there's something bigger than us out there. So, yeah, we have this.
The permit. You were talking about the permit. I left them on the edge of their seats. I doubt they were on the edge of their seats. I'm sure some people are laying down. Some people are driving their cars, so that wouldn't be good if they're on the edge of their seat in their car. Tell us how you work this to get all these streets, major arteries, shut down for for this wonderful event, but for your purpose. You know, you went to them and said, hey, I got this thing. So what? Why should we shut it down for you? Father, I mean, who are you? And you're a young guy too, so some people are looking at you like, yeah, he's just a little young whippersnapper there.
Barely old enough to be an altar boy.
From Canada, the area. All righty then, get back to it, eh?
So the reason why all these things happen is because it's not about me. It's because it's about her. It's about Our Lady of the Broken. It's about she who wants to bring hope to the city. And so when I come to the director of Chicago Department of Transportation, and I ask them, we want to do this beautiful march in the city, this prayer walk, and we want this. And they can immediately see the symbolism. But as the person over at Chicago Department of Transportation is writing the name of the permit down, she writes down hope for the broken. And she looks up and she says, oh, Father, I sure hope you are right. I sure hope there is hope for the broken. She begins to talk about their own brokenness in her life and in the city. I reached into my pocket and I pulled out a rosary and I just gave it to her and said, here, hold this. And we just began a friendship. And she, 2 days later, sends the permit, which is approved for the city.
Was she Catholic?
I don't know if she was. Most people in Chicago are and have long since fallen away. Here's a fact. I think it's 7 out of 10 people in the city of Chicago are actually Catholic. Now, that doesn't mean they're practicing.
No.
But it means that because 1 out of every 3 Catholics is actually practicing. So there's many people. So most people you can walk up to in the city of Chicago are actually Catholic. And that's the thing is Chicago is a Catholic city. And when this procession moves down Chicago Avenue, the cobwebs will be dust off, you know, the fallen away Catholic heart.
Well, like they got the matchbox. You know, he said he obviously wasn't practicing anything other than probably drinking. And he remembered his grandmother praying over him.
Exactly.
And this lady is saying, is there hope? So I didn't realize that's an amazing number, though.
Yeah.
Statistically speaking.
Yeah.
You're talking.
There's so many. So nobody's really off limits. And everybody wants hope. They want answers because people can see the despair and the brokenness that our city has fallen into. And I think that it's not going to be solved by any policy changes. It's not going to be solved by any elections, by any aldermen, by any, none of those things. But we're going to solve this through turning to Our Lady and saying, we are broken. And the promise that Jesus Christ gives us, that he promises to restore what is broken. He promises to make all things new. And so, but we've seen, you know, I went to the police commander of the 12th district, mm-hmm. police commander of the 18th district, and we're telling them about these processions, and they are relieved because they're used to angry protests.
Well, they're
going to
be part of it too. The chaplains are going to be part of it. Right?
Exactly. It's being sponsored by the police chaplain ministry. And this isn't pro-police. It isn't pro, it's just pro-hope. But everybody's going to be there. We have the fire department that's promised their resources. They'll be there, again, part of this, just to, you know, to be available. Because the city as a whole is turning to Mary, saying, turning to something bigger than herself. And, you know, the thing is, even atheists and Protestants who may not necessarily connect with our Blessed Mother or with Our Lady will be coming to this. Why? Because the symbolism is so powerful. A broken statue taken from the dumpster, now being paraded through the streets. As a symbol. That's a powerful symbol. Whether you're a Christian, whether you believe in God or not, that symbol's amazing. And that beauty will attract. And you're right, people in those high rises, people at Water Tower Place will look down, people passing by will see, and they'll see the light. And it will bring some hope into our city.
Would there be a possibility to give people signs? Say, I'm broken? I'm just thinking out of the box right now on the radio.
You are.
But if you had a sign, if people had a sign saying, I'm broken, because again, that would draw attention to these other people like, what the heck's going on down? I'm broken. What is broken? It would make people look into their own lives and say, yeah, you know what? I'm broken too.
That's
when Kevin says it, he's like, he means it. And you're like, Kevin Matthews, come on, man. You're the most popular guy in Chicago. Everyone loves you. I mean, all the girls love you. You could have dated anyone. He's married and he loves his wife. But I'm just saying, he had so many people that just wanted to be him, be his buddy, be, you know, whatever. And he's saying, hey, you know what? Really, I am broken. If you read his book, as you have, you'll know why. But what's your thought on that?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I was against any sign whatsoever in this procession. Because people will be carrying, they'll be carrying a candle. You know, we will be praying, but I think
maybe
that
a banner.
But yeah, I think the significance of that. I hope that message comes through. I hope that's what is reported because the media will see this. This will be on WGN, ABC. Mm-hmm. This will be because it's going to be beautiful. It's going to captivate people because what are they doing? And we will make that message clear. So I think whether or not there is a sign or somebody has a sign, but I think that's actually that is the message. In fact, on the press release, that's one of the things we are broken and in need of healing. That is the only message here, and if you want to be in this procession, you're admitting that, and so we're going to make that right. Very, very clear. But I
was thinking like the March for Life, you know, where they have the different. It's all positive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying, I get what you're saying because you got the candle in one hand and but maybe there could be a banner in the front.
Sure, I don't.
Maybe somebody could volunteer that.
I think so. A banner with saying we are broken. I'm actually open to that. So I'll look at that. But what I want to avoid at all costs is that this looks like any protest whatsoever.
Right.
It's not even a.
Okay.
So if we have a banner, fine. And if it just says we are broken, the message is clear. And I think that's actually really brilliant.
Candles? Well, thank you. I am brilliant. You know, at least I think I am. Marketing guy. But no, I'm just saying something to let people know. Again, like, why do they have candles down there? Did someone die? We all died. We're all broken. I mean, we all died inside to some degree. And now what is it that we can do to repair that?
I think that's actually a really great idea. I'm going to be looking into this as soon as I get off the show, and we'll see about getting a banner.
We got another, 18 minutes. So we're going to have to talk a little more.
No worries.
You have to talk your way out of this.
I have plenty to talk about.
Oh, you do. Let's keep going. I almost said you betcha, but I'm done with the imitations of Canadians there, eh?
I don't
believe
it.
Maybe a little bit.
No,
probably not,
eh? No, okay.
All right, so we got this March, and it's going to be nice and warm. You can't play hockey on the streets unless you're playing roller hockey. You know?
That's right.
What if somebody came with the rollerblades there, eh, and a stick and a ball, eh?
They certainly could.
Everyone's
could.
Welcome there. Protestants and Canadians.
Protestants and Canadians. Even the Canadians are welcome to this. You know what the beautiful thing is, though? Even though I'm a Canadian citizen, I've now been in Chicago more than half my life. And so I actually feel like a citizen of the city of Chicago more than I do of Canada in a strange way. I mean, I will always be Canadian, but there's something about this city I love and my opportunities to ride with the police chaplain's ministry,
right?
To see the city at its worst, to be in Inglewood, to see the violence. So I'm not naive to what is going on in this city. And I know that it's a very provocative to not go to a broken neighborhood. We're going to the Water Tower, to the Magnificent Mile.
But you've been to the broken areas.
We have, and so has she.
Right.
You know, and that's one of the things that I want to bring out is Benedict XVI, this great pope, he had an insight regarding this exact point. He said that when we say the creed as Catholics, we say, okay, you know, he rose again from the third day, he was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. Now, the actual words in the creed are he descended into shale, or he descended into chaos. What Benedict is saying is that there's no chaos that we can be or experience where Christ has not already descended in that. Part of his passion and his death was him actually reaching the most broken parts of our life. And I think that Mary, who is the Immaculate Conception, she is without sin, and we see a broken statue, but she, even though she is immaculately conceived and she becomes the place where Christ is, she bears Christ, she's willing to become part of our mess in order to pull us out. So God descends into that chaos. And I think that this is what this moment will be for the city, is he will descend into this chaos and hopefully bring us out. And this is not a publicity stunt. This is not.
No, it certainly is. No,
this is not.
Isn't. I sat with you when we talked about it with Kevin. Now, this was just I was part of it, but just sitting in an office saying, hey, you know, I think this would be a good idea. Let's do this. Let's do this down Chicago Avenue. The bridge is going to be open. It's not like, hey, let's draw all this attention, because Kevin's not interested in it. And he's the first one that says it. People are looking at him like he's some weirdo sometimes who says, well, Mary's getting the award. Like he just got an award for Everest Academy. He's like, well, it's for Mary. And people are like, what? Dude, what are you talking about?
I think that was one of the best things was seeing Kevin on WGN.
right?
And they're catching up about his life. Where are you now? What are you doing with your life? And, you know, we hear you wrote a book, and he talks about the book, and all of a sudden he launches into this story, how he heard this voice to pick up a statue. And I can see the news anchors being sort of like, what's going on here? And they're like, you know, ex-nay on the at you stay, you know, they're really.
That's true.
It scares people.
Some of these people come to his events. They're like, what? I thought I was going to get Jim Shorts. He won't even pull Jim Shorts out most of the time. He's like, yeah, it doesn't work.
No, he just wants to talk about, you know, he reminds me of a teenage boy who's in love with a girl. He's just so in love. And that's going to come through. And Kevin will also say, as he will say on this radio show, that it's not about him. It's about her. And she's the one doing this, and she wants to bring hope. And I think she loves Chicago. This is a Chicago personality. This is a Chicago statue. This is for us. This is a moment for our city. I think it's a prophetic act, and I think it's important that we are at the water tower and that where the water went through the entire city, we're going to bless that water. We're going to bless the city, asking God to just help us to rebuild our lives, to get our lives back together.
I tell several of my good friends who are priests. I've got a lot of good friends that are priests, but like Father Ed Looney, who's a Marian priest, and Mike Grezik, who's all about Medjugorje and Mary. I say, you know, you guys like Mary. Kevin loves Mary. What do you mean? I'm like, no, the way Kevin loves Mary, I've never seen anyone love Mary like you said. He's obsessed with Mary. I mean, he is like, you hit the nail on the head. That is exactly what I've always said. He's like this teenage boy that is just infatuated with the Farrah Fawcett poster or whatever, you know, depends on when you grew up. Wonder Woman or whatever, but I'm just saying he is infatuated with her like the hottest woman ever. Like he just can't get enough of her. So I tell these other priests that are marrying, yeah, you know her and everything else, but this guy is just infatuated. He loves her. And with that provocative statement, we'll be back after this break.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know, stop or go, hot or cold, up or down. This way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation one way or the other.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Winds of Change would like you to know that Illinois will become even more extreme on abortion if several pieces of legislation are passed and signed into law. HB 2495/SB 1942 is known as the New York Abortion Bill. This bill makes abortion a basic right for any reason or no reason at all, up to birth. Among the many shortcomings, this bill jeopardizes any meaningful regulation of abortion clinics. Sadly, this bill would make Roe v. Wade seem pro-life in comparison. Then there is HB 2467/SB 1594, which is the repeal of the parental notice of abortion law. An abortion will no longer require the notice of just one parent when a girl under 18 years old seeks an abortion. This bill effectively takes the power from parents and transfers it to boyfriends, sex traffickers, bullies, classmates, and educators. Contact your local state senator and House representative this week. Do it now with a kind but firm message not to support these bills. Go online to sign a petition with your friends and families at ICE-PAC.com/petition. That's ICE-PAC.com/petition. For more information, visit the Winds of Change homepage on Facebook. Put your faith into action.
Thank you.
If the stores are all closed, you can walk with Father Josh down Michigan Avenue along with Mary. Oh, we're back. So we're talking about this wonderful march that is going to go down Michigan Avenue for a little bit, for the most part, Chicago Avenue, Chicago and Michigan. So I'm just wondering, why the heck do I want to come all the way out to, from the suburbs to do this? What's in it for me? Why would somebody want to come down from their penthouse or... they probably got good dinner reservations. It's Friday night. It's going to be nice outside, hopefully. I'm assuming it will be since Mary's involved. Why would be the impetus for somebody to come take part in this procession?
No reason at all.
Okay. That's all, folks. We'll see you next week. I'll be here with Father Hyde. First of all, answer the question. Yeah, Canuck?
Sad. Someone would want to come because there's something to be gained. There are going to be graces poured out on the city, and there are going to be graces poured out that whenever we turn to God and we admit that we are broken, that He pours graces on us. And that this, with this procession on May 31st, with this statue, is going to be a moment of grace, and that there are going to be graces won for people. People will be, maybe they have people they haven't forgiven in their life, or they're holding bitterness, or maybe there's severe ailments, or people are looking for prayer, or they're bringing someone or a loved one, or their family's broken. But if you don't need anything from God, don't come. If you're not broken, just stay home. If you have dinner plans because your life is okay, you can just...
Don't even bother with grace.
Exactly.
I'm just going to eat the steak.
I'm just going to say this procession is for the broken.
And we're all broken.
Exactly.
Whether you realize it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned something to me during the break about healing. What do you mean?
I mean, we should expect supernatural healings. We should expect big things.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yes,
talk.
It is. I know it is.
Supernatural.
But we see them supernatural, and I have precedent because we've had events where, for instance, we brought Saint Maria Goretti her relics into our church. 20,000 people came through.
I was there.
We had
you
amazing,
got me a good seat. Thank you
yes,
for that.
We had amazing healings. We had supernatural healings. We had people who were. But let me tell you about one with this particular statue, Our Lady of the Broken. Kevin Matthews had a friend. He was speaking. I don't remember where, but there was somebody who...
Palatine. That's core.
Mm-hmm.
Stage 4 cancer.
Why don't you tell the story, Mike?
Well, I want to let you talk, but this lady had stage 4 cancer last October. It was funny because I had been showing the Cardinal George show. I was just premiering it at the seminary, and I had, you know, tons of people in the audience in the theater at Mundelein at USML. And I get to this church in Palatine, and Kevin's got more people than I did, and I'm showing the Cardinal George movie. It's amazing how many people come for him thinking they're going to get the Jim Shorts and the Elvis and Pee Wee Herman, and they're getting Mary. But this lady had stage 4, and Kevin said, Mary wants you to be part of this. And I've become friends with her, and she's clean now. I mean, what are we talking, six months she was clean? Like, how is that? I'm not a person that, I mean, I was kind of sarcastic with you when I said it the way I did, but I want people to realize what you're talking about is real. These healings do happen. I've been to conferences. Guy Murphy has a conference called Totally Yours where he has healing priests. What you are talking about is absolutely the fact that people, if you believe, like I said, if you're going to stay at home, go to dinner, go to a movie, go to a ball game.
If you don't need God, then don't come.
But you're going to need him at some point when you're broke or when you have cancer or when somebody in your family has a drug problem. You're going to need him. And
when
that's when
die.
You're going to go to him. You're going to go, oh, God, help me. I was given cancer as a cross. Why don't you acknowledge him now, people? I mean, why don't you acknowledge him and thank him, like I said, for a beautiful day or for a blessing, for friendship? Like, I thank him for my friendship with you, Father Josh. You know, very blessed. The people that I've met have been a blessing. And I have a lot of crap in my life that I like to rid myself of. But that's God's plan, and he'll rid me of it when he determines it's time to. So what you're saying is true. And I'll let you continue now.
No, I want people to expect big things. That God is only limited by our lack of trust. God is only limited by our lack of trust. So when we don't trust him, he said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And I believe that if we come in faith before this statue, pulled from a dumpster, broken and chipped, if we come in faith and saying, Lord, I am broken and I need your help, we can expect big things. And there will be an outpouring of grace. I believe there will be an outpouring not only on this city, but on everybody who's there. So bring your intentions. Expect big things. And this is, you know, we're going to see this.
It's wacky, though. It's a broken statue. It's wacky. It's like, what are those weirdos doing down there with that statue of that lady?
The folly of God is wiser than men, says St. Paul. And I really believe that's exactly what's going on here. This is foolishness. It's utter foolishness. And I don't know what I'm doing with my time. I could be doing a lot of things. I don't even know why I'm a priest. Why am I here? I mean, I could be
a hockey player.
Exactly. I could be doing so many other things, and I have a lot of talents, and I enjoy life. But you know what? No, I enjoy this because I know that I need God more than I need my own breath.
And we need you as a priest. Believe me, you are at a beautiful church that people really respect and love you and your
brother.
And
the church, that church which brings the broken heart, it brings the broken heart and tries to restore them through the sacrament of confession, restore them through the Eucharist. So, yeah.
Well, the church was broken, wasn't it?
It was. It was, I mean,
it was
totally
really broken.
It was totally broken down to 40 people. It's going to be destined for the wrecking ball, and it came back to life. There is hope. That is the same message we've been giving the city.
And who
for
was part of the reason that that thing came back from the wrecking ball? There was a certain man from a certain town by the name of Cardinal George, my
absolutely
friend.
Cardinal George. He believed in Father Frank Phillips' vision mm-hmm. of taking his broken church and putting it back together. And now St. John Cantius, we barely have room for some of our crowds, standing room only for Sunday Masses and what God is doing. And who's coming there? The broken are coming there. And they're going to the Sacrament of Confession, and they're getting their lives back together. But I think it's beautiful that Kevin has formed a friendship with our church, and that we're going to be able to show this city this broken statue, because I believe there is great things. So put it on your calendar, Friday, May 31st, 7 p.m. And the website, again, if you want to watch a beautiful video where he tells a story, is going to be at OurLadyOfTheBroken.org. That's OurLadyOfTheBroken.org. So do check that out, Friday, May 30th, 31st. Looking forward to this, Mike. We're going to have fun.
Yeah, well, you're going to be in the air. You and Kevin are going to come back on the air with me on Thursday, the 30th, and we're going to really promote it a little bit more. Not that we need much promotion. You're going to be on Relevant Radio. You're going to be talking to a lot of folks about this over the next 3 weeks.
Once this gets going, the snowball gets going, I think it will definitely grow. And it's not really what we're doing. It's what she's doing. And that's what I'm noticing, that you know, we had these processions last year, and whenever we did, it just happened. It wasn't because of our efforts. It's because she wants to give the city hope. She does love the city. Mary loves the city of Chicago, and she wants to give hope to the city. And so I really hope that everyone can come and be a part of this. So do spread the word. If you know people, or you want to bring friends, or you want to, we have downloadable posters in three languages. You can go to the website, OurLadyOfTheBroken.org. You can send posters, announcements, the video to your friends.
Perfect. Hey, you cut this perfectly. Normally I'm talking into the music. That's okay. I don't respect the music. I'll just keep going. But no, we're done. Folks, please, 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 this will be worth your while. Come to this wonderful event. Father Josh, thank you so much. If you haven't been there in a while, or you've never been to St. John Cantius, get over there. It's the most beautiful church around. 825 North Carpenter Street, Chicago, just east of the expressway. God bless. Bye-bye.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.